Well, we're continuing with the theme of standing firm. You know, it's such an encouragement to read the letters of Paul. He really encourages us to stand firm in our faith when times are tough. That's what he wrote to the Thessalonian church. They were having some strife in their church and going through a hard time. So his words were really part of his strengthening and encouraging. And I think there's weeks where we really need that too. This week was one of such week for me. I've been listening to a little bit of complaining and criticism from, you know, some people in the church. And you don't sort of think of that from people within our congregation. That's not what we expect. We're a loving community and not, we shouldn't be criticising or backstabbing or, you know, nitpicking, so to speak. And not only that, people from outside the church were having a go at me as well. Even just on Thursday night, after a very long day at work, I'd driven to Doncaster East and taken a meal to my parents. And on my way home, I thought I'm going to just drive through the bottle shop in Mornington and pick up a little bottle of red just to have a little sneaky drink when I get home. I pulled up and there was a man just on the far side of the driveway, startled by me just pulling into the bottle shop. And he started yelling at me. And I thought, I think I'll go in rather than sit in my car with his safety in numbers. So I went into the bottle shop store and I thought that he wouldn't follow me in. But in a little while, he did. Still yelling abuse. I won't say the words he was using. It was just crazy. He had tattoos all over his head. And you could see he was obviously on drugs. And, you know, I think there was something demonic in that as well. I seem to get this sometimes from, you know, people on drugs or demon possessed, and I think it's because they sense Christ in me. I think that's the target. Anyway, I was picking out which bottle I would have to hit him with if he came near me, and he didn't stop yelling. So I just said to the staff, could you help me, please? And they said, yeah, come and stand in here with us. So I got into their little, you know, register island, and there was three of us in there, and the man just chose a bottle of wine, still yelling obnoxious things, and I made sure not to look at him, not keep eye contact. But I kept thinking, if Jesus was here, what would he do? He'd probably rebuke him. And I thought, you know, someone high on drugs in the bottle is probably not the right place to tell him where to stand. But anyway, I got out of there safely. He bought his wine and he went off, and the staff apologized profusely. So I'm so sorry. And I said, it's not your fault. And they just explained to me some of the things that they go through in their work day. And I just thought that was a pretty tough gig. So anyway, if you've got people outside the church persecuting you, or just, you know, having a little bit of trouble with people in the church that you don't see eye to eye with, you know, these are good words for us to draw from, which Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. They were too having trouble of division in their church. Some among them were falsely preaching that the resurrection and Jesus' return had already happened. And so there was this discontent about when Jesus was coming back and if he had already. Now, we know that Jesus will come back one day. That is yet to come. And we trust that he will set all things right. And until that day, we need to know that he is with us and for us. And he will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Even if all else is stripped away from us and we have only him, that is enough to hold to. That is enough to keep us standing strong and firm. And so we can take assurance and comfort just by knowing our identity in him as his children. So today I want to remind you, just from the passage we read, that you are loved, you are chosen, you are saved, and you are called. That's what Paul tells us. You have all you need to stand firm in your faith, no matter what comes against you. Others might be against you, but God is not. So I'm going to say the words that Paul addressed his hearers with. He said, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord. I could say that to you too. Brothers and sisters, you are loved by the Lord. Truly loved. With unconditional love. Doesn't matter what you do or have done, his love is solid and you can hold on to it. It does not waver, it does not change. It's unconditional and permanent and true. He sent his son Jesus into the world to die for you. It's sacrificial love, not fake love, but true love. And God did that because he wanted to save you. You are saved in Jesus Christ. It wasn't just some accident or a last-minute thought that Jesus thought, you know, maybe I'll save that one. God pre-planned a long time ago that you would be in his elect number. You are chosen by God, and it was his plan to save you all along. Ephesians 1 tells us, "For God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption into his family through Jesus Christ, our Lord." He chose us to be saved, and through the ongoing sanctification of the Holy Spirit and the truth in the scriptures, we can be transformed more and more to his image. That's a lifelong project. I know I'm not even close yet. Maybe that's why I've been criticized a bit lately. But the truth is, none of us this side of eternity are going to be perfect. And so it's a waste of time, you know, worrying about what other people think of us. It's a waste of time beating ourselves up over our failures. Because it doesn't really matter what other people think. What others think of me is none of my business, I've been telling myself all week. It's God's opinion that matters. It's where you stand in him that matters. That's where our identity is. And God says that I am loved and chosen and saved and called. And he says that about you too. You are loved, chosen, saved, and called. Thessalonians were too. They were loved by the Lord, chosen by God, saved by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and the scriptures, the truth in the gospel. And these things work together to grow us more like Jesus, to be transformed into the people that he wants to be, people who reflect his glory. Because that's what we're called to. We are called to be his representation in the world. We reflect his glory. And he's called us to share in his glory. That's our inheritance. That's our hope. That's our future. One day we get to soak in all of that. John's smiling. He's picturing it, aren't you? Love it. It's great. That is something to be happy about, something to look forward to, something to be excited about. This is our hope and our future, the glorious inheritance of all faithful believers, especially those, you know, gone past. Wendy chose that first song because it's Saints' Day. She wants to remember those who've gone before us. But friends, that's our inheritance too. All of us who are loved by God, chosen and saved and sanctified, we have all we need to stand firm in the faith right till the end. We can stand firm in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit with complete assurance and our salvation in him. So we don't need to be frightened of other people or anyone coming against us. We don't need to be intimidated by bullies. We don't need to be concerned what our brothers and sisters think of us. We can be strong in the Lord and stand firm in our faith and our identity in who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the face of opposition and persecution. So let's stand true to the end, my friends. We are loved, chosen, saved, and called. And so I'm going to finish just with a little prayer that Paul prayed over the Thessalonian church. And it's a good reminder that we all need prayers of the faithful too. So continue to uphold one another in prayer. Put away any criticism or complaining and build one another up. Pray for one another, strengthen one another, encourage one another in the Lord. Let me pray. Almighty God, bless my brothers and sisters here. Bless especially those who don't yet know that they are loved and chosen and called by you. Help them to realize that they can receive salvation through faith in you and receive all the wonderful spiritual riches and rewards that you have to offer. For those who know that they are loved and chosen and saved and called, help us to live like it. Help us to act and speak in ways that demonstrate the reality of our faith. Help us to stand confidently in the face of persecution and opposition, and stand firm against division and criticism in the church. Unite us in Christ and help us all to work together for his praise and glory. And may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who dearly loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope for the future, encourage our hearts, strengthen us in every good deed and work until Christ returns. Amen.